Okay, I can't tell you right away where we're going for the scripture because I want to ask you a question. Anyone know the very first time love is mentioned in the Bible? Does anyone know? Pastor, youth pastor, any young person know the first time love is mentioned in the Bible? Because that's where our text is this afternoon. Anyone know? You're thinking of love. Oh, I wonder what's going to be. Love towards God? Love between a man and a woman? Anyone know? Yeah. That is absolutely correct. Abraham loved Isaac. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 22, the first time love is mentioned in the Bible. Genesis chapter 22. That was good, brother. That was really good. Now, the first thing we learned this morning, if we're going to take a stand, and we're going to be strong to stand, is we got to trust the Scriptures. You got to put your foundation in the Scriptures. By the way, you guys responded incredible. Wasn't sure. I felt there's been a great spirit here. You guys have been very easy to preach, and we preached quite a long time, actually, and you guys listened really well. But now the next thing, if we're going to stand strong, and next message, it's going to be take a stand. But this one is, it's time to surrender. You're not going to be able to take a stand if you haven't surrendered. Now, surrender is an interesting thing. Elephants don't surrender to God. Snakes don't surrender to God. Birds don't surrender to God. Man is the only created being that can surrender, and there's a reason. It's because what we are surrendering. Now, you might say it's a talent, it's a dream, it's an ability, it's, you know, my life. Jesus Christ, in human form, surrendered his will to the Father. It's an incredible moment. Matter of fact, I don't think we have any concept of what happened in Gethsemane that night. But I want to tell you, young person, if Jesus Christ has to surrender his will, we have to surrender our will as well. Now, surrender is an interesting topic. It has to do with a relationship. You are giving up something that is very precious to you for something that is even greater. And that's a difficult thing. Now, some of you might say, you know, Brother Shelley, you're going to preach on surrender. Well, I want you to know that last summer at camp, I surrendered my life to God. Praise the Lord. That's good. Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There is one thing about a living sacrifice. Living sacrifices tend to crawl off the altar. So what we have to do is we have to rededicate our lives. There are some of you in here that would say, you know, Brother Scheller, I have surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ to live for him. But maybe sometimes we get off and we've got to come back and say, you know what, Lord, the youth conference was good today. It got me back on the altar where I needed to be. But I also wanted to suggest something else. I believe that there can be very specific things that you can surrender to the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. My senior year in college, I was dating what I believed to be the greatest girl on planet Earth. Her name was Mary Lee. And I had dated Mary Lee for about 5-6 months. And I got to tell you something. I couldn't look at a textbook and not see Mary Lee. I couldn't eat a meal and not think about Mary Lee. I am telling you, the love bug had bitten. And my whole life was around this girl named Mary Lee. I mean, everything I did, everything I thought, everything in my whole life was Mary Lee. It was the spring of 1979. Man, that was a long time ago. It was the spring of 1979, and it was around Bible conference time, and the Lord got a hold of my heart. And I was reading my devotions, and I was in Isaiah chapter 41. And the Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness," which turns out to be my, that day, I made that my life verse, Isaiah 41:10. 5 times in that verse, God says, "I will do it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And that day in that prayer room, I said, "You know what, Lord? I've put Mary Lee in place of God." And I came out of that prayer room, and that afternoon, I met down in a lobby area with this girl named Mary Lee. And I said, "Mary Lee, I really believe I need to break up with you." She looked at me like, "What are you talking about? We've been dating for 6 months. We were starting to talk about marriage, but I believe that Mary Lee had become my God. Mary Lee was more important in my life than anything else, and definitely the Lord." I don't think she fully understood. But I said, "Mary Lee, I'm breaking up." And I will tell you, I really felt when I left that lobby that day that I would never see, I'd see her, but I would never date her again. It was, you're in Genesis 22, hold your place, but I just got to show you this. It was 5 months after that, I was traveling with a group. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 21. I was not looking for a verse. I still had a heart for Mary Lee, but I do believe that the Lord was number one in my life. And I was at a hotel, and I was out having my devotions by the pool. And that morning, I read Psalm 21, and I came to verse 2. "Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah." And the Lord said, "She's yours. She's yours." That which the Lord had taken away, now that I surrendered it to the Lord gave it back like never before. Now, the Lord may not always give it back, but the Lord will never take anything out of your life that he will not replace it with something better. God will never, you will never surrender anything to God that he will not replace it with something better in your life. And young people, I want to tell you, I end up marrying this woman, and we've been married for 37 years. And I want to share this with you, young people. I believe that that day in that prayer room, it was a very important moment in my life. I can't tell you how much I loved that girl, but I knew that I loved her more than the Lord. Very possibly, this afternoon, you have something in your life that is more important than God. And by the way, what does the Bible call that? That's called idolatry. If you worship and love anything more than God, what do you spend your time on? What do you spend your thoughts on? What makes you smile? What makes you cry? And what do you dream about? That's your passion, and that's your God. Whatever makes you smile, whatever makes you cry, and whatever you're dreaming about, that's your God. And so I knew that I had to surrender something very, very special in my life. Well, we come to Genesis chapter 22, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things." Okay, lots happened in Abraham's life at this point. The thing that I want you to learn from this, and you're young, but I want you to hear it today on May 6, 2017. But I want you to hear this today, and that's this. It does not matter how old you ever become. Abraham's an old guy here. He's an old, old man. He's over 100 years old. Abraham still had things to surrender to God. And that's why you might say, Brother Shetler, I go to camp and I surrendered my life last year. You still have to surrender things to God. There's something right now that the Lord wants in your life that he wants you to surrender, that he wants you to give up. Chances are you already know what I'm going to preach about. In other words, what the Holy Spirit's going to use. You know already. It's a relationship. It's a thing. It's ability. It's a talent. It's a dream. I really want to do this, man. I really want. No one's going to stop me to do this. It may be your music. It may be a friendship. It may be your dress, your wardrobe. It may be your technology. It may be the thing that you use, have. It may be a talent God's given you. And it's very precious. And it says, and it came to pass after these things. You're going to have this go on all of your life. That God did tempt Abraham. Now, how many of you are seniors about to graduate? How many seniors we got? Oh, not too many. We got a few, though. We got a few seniors. Okay, congratulations, by the way. Congratulations. I will tell you, it doesn't stop after high school. It doesn't stop after college. You'll be tested all of your life. Now notice this, we'll read verse 2 and then we'll have a word of prayer. Did test or tempt Abraham and said it unto Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Young person, let me ask you this. Are you available right now? Are you available if God calls you? If God were to call you today, are you in a spot? We're going to pray in just a moment. Make sure you're in the spot that you would say, you know, God, here I am. Lord, if you want something, here I am. Now look at verse 2, our text, and we'll pray. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son. I got to stop. Is this his only son? Well, Brother Shetler, the Bible says it's his only son. This is great. Is this his only son? Does he have another son? What's his name? Ishmael. Well, Brother Shelley, then why does it say it's his only son? You hear this. The Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. Isaac was the child of faith. Ishmael was man's doings. He had Ishmael with a concubine that they all figured out a way to, okay, Abraham's supposed to have this seed that's supposed to go on. Well, we got to do something. And he got man's hands involved to it. And Ishmael was the work of man. And by the way, folks, our world is still cursed by this. The people of Ishmael are the ones that are causing all the problems in the Middle East today. Let me just tell you, this thing hasn't stopped. When you put your hands and you think you can do better than God, you're in trouble. He said, your only son, Isaac, because the only son I recognize is that which you did by faith. And by the way, the only thing that God recognizes in your life is that step of faith. And I just have to tell you this. I get young people all the time that say, hey, you know, I could consider going to Bible college, but you got to be kidding me. All the way to California? How much is it? Like $11,000, $12,000 a year? Man, I got to tell you, I think my parents would rather just have me stay home. Well, you know what? You can't please God without a step of faith. I'm glad our Bible college is in California. And you know what? And believe me, you don't know how much I struggle with saying what I'm about to say. I guess I'm kind of glad our Bible college costs $12,000. Because the fact of the matter is, there isn't hardly a student that comes to our college that can pay for it. There's not a young person, well, I wouldn't say not one, but there are very few young people that come to our Bible college that have money to pay for it. They're taking a step of faith. And you know what? That's what pleases God, young person. You take your step of faith and don't try to figure it out and work it all out your way. You trust God. And he says this, and he said unto the, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. Now here it is, the very first time in the Bible the word is mentioned. Whom thou, everyone together, lovest. You take that which you love the most. And that's what I want you to surrender. Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this afternoon. And we have had a lot of fun. You know, Lord, I thank you for outdoors. I love being outdoors and I love games. But more than that, Lord, I love the fellowship of young people. And Lord, I pray that what happens in the next 20 minutes in this auditorium will be of more significance and importance than any volleyball game we could have ever played. Lord, I pray that there would be young people today that would surrender, whether it's their lives, a relationship, their dreams, whether it's an ability or a talent, or whether it's a possession that they have. I do pray, Father, as I prayed in the first session, that every young person, in order to stand strong, would have a time of surrender. And may that time of surrender be this afternoon at Victory Baptist Church on May 6, 2017. Now, Lord, I believe there's going to be other things they're going to have to surrender in the years and months and weeks ahead. But may they surrender what they're supposed to surrender right now this afternoon, and may they be tender to that, and then help us, Lord, to take a stand. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. All right, good job. Here we go. I heard a story long time ago about a province in India. And in this province in India, there was a brand new governor of the province. He was a young man. His father, previously before him, had died. And this new governor was going to do something that no governor of the province had ever done before. He was going to actually go out into the villages and cities all over the province in India where he ruled. It had never been done before. In one of the little teeny villages, there was a little boy. He was crippled, and he was a beggar boy. And he would sit alongside the road, and all day long, all he could basically do was beg. And people would drop in little beans or some corn or a little bit of meal into his little basket that he had. And he would be there, and he would be begging, can you give me something? Can you give me something? And the word got out. Did you hear? The governor's coming to our village. No. The new governor, the young man. He'll be coming and he's going to be visiting our village tomorrow. Well, the little beggar boy got excited. The little beggar boy says, oh, he's going to give me something. He's going to do something for me. He's going to give me something. I just know he's going to give me something. I'm going to shout the loudest. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to make sure he knows it. And he's going to give me some treasure. Well, sure enough, the next day it occurred. The big caravan came in. I mean, they had the camels and the elephants and all of the music and all of the pageantry. It was amazing, all the pomp and circumstance. It was an incredible procession that came to the village. And then on the biggest and the largest elephant came riding in this young governor on top of the elephant. And he was waving, and the people were yelling and screaming and shouting. And it finally came by the little boy. And the little boy began to yell, Governor! Governor! Do you have something for me? Governor! Governor! And as the elephant passed by, the governor looked down and saw the young little boy begging alongside the road. Stop everything. Oh, and the little boy said, this is it, this is it. And the governor got off of the elephant, climbed down the ladder, and went over to the boy. And the little boy, like, oh, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And the governor came to the little boy, and he said, son, do you have anything for your new governor? What? Do you have anything you would like to give to your new governor? What? Would you like to give your new governor anything? And he reached in his basket and gave him a bean. Here's a bean. Is that all you have? I thought he was going to get. Here's a piece of kernel of corn. And that is all for your new governor. I thought he was supposed to give me something. Here's a lima bean. That is it? Yeah, that's all. And the governor took the three beans. And he climbed up the ladder back onto the elephant. And he reached back behind his seat to a treasure box. And he opened up the treasure box. And in there he brought out a gold medallion. He brought out a beautiful ruby. And he brought out a beautiful cut diamond. And he took those three and he went back down the ladder. And he went back down to the little boy. And everyone was quiet in the village. As the governor said, you gave me a bean, here's a gold medallion. You gave me a kernel of corn, here's a ruby. And you gave me a lima bean, and here's your diamond. And the little boy said, would you like some more? And the governor said, no, no. You gave me three, and I repaid you. Now, I want to tell you something, young people. A lot of you are doing the same thing with God. God, you're asking me, why don't you bless me? God will bless you, young person, as soon as you surrender your will, your life to Him. Some of you, the majority of you in here, probably know Christ. And by the way, if you don't know the Lord and you're here today, you need to trust Christ as your Savior because He surrendered His life for you. But I am going to share this with you, young person. Some of you are holding back and you say, no, I got to kind of see what's going to happen first. And God says, no, you give me what you have and then I will bless you. Young people, I really believe that what we have here is an amazing moment in Abraham's life. He is going to offer his son. I want you to see one other thing as we go on with the story really quickly here. It says, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Notice what it says. I love this little part. Upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Okay, go to Moriah. Now, anyone know what happened on Mount Moriah? That's where Jesus died, okay? That's where the temple, that's where the temple was built. The temple was built on Mount Moriah, where Abraham was willing to offer Isaac. But notice what it says. Moriah was not one mountain. Moriah was a range of mountains. And notice what it says. It says, upon one of the mountains, and I will, look what it says, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. I think what I'm about to say is absolutely imperative to understand surrender. I think surrender is one step at a time. And here's what he said. Abraham, get going to Moriah, the range of mountains. And I will show you the specific mountain to offer Isaac on. And you know what that tells me? God's will is not shown to us completely at one time. We take one step at a time. Abraham, you just get Isaac right now and you go to Moriah. And then I will show you where you're supposed to do that. And young people, let me tell you this. I cannot preach that point and not talk about Bible college. Some young people never end up going to Bible college for this reason. hey, Lord, if you showed me what to do, then I would go. And God says, no, you just go, and then I will show you the next step. We sometimes want to know everything about God's will right away. Okay, Lord, I will surrender today to you, but I got to know what where this is headed. And God says, uh-uh. You take your step, and I will show you the next step that you're to take. Now, there are some of you right now that are holding on to things. There are some of you right now that have something in your life that God's saying, surrender. And you're saying, uh-uh. I want this. I love this. This is my dream. This is my friendship. This is a relationship that I want. And God says, you give me that relationship. Well, you're going to have to No. You give it to me and you surrender. See, young person, you're not an animal. Animals can't do this. God created you in his likeness. He gave you a will that you can choose, that you can either say, no, God, I'm not going to do it, or you can say, yes, I will. I was a sophomore in college. I never got to go to a youth conference like this when I was a teenager. I believe I trusted Christ when I was 12, but I did not live for the Lord. I never went to a youth group thing like what you guys are at today. I was a sophomore in college, and I heard a message about surrendering your life to the Lord. I cannot tell you a day that I was called to preach, but I can tell you when I surrendered my will to the Lord. And when I surrendered my will and my life to the Lord, he began to start giving me desires. Now, I know there's a lot of guys that can tell you the day that they were called to preach. I want you to know, I can't tell you that. You say, well, then, Brother Scheller, how do you know you're called to preach? Because when I surrendered my life to the Lord, he began to give me new desires. He began to give me desires to live for God. And young person, I want to share this with you. When I do premarital counseling, there are four things that have to be in place before I will do perform a wedding. First of all, they both have to be saved. I will not marry a couple if they're both not saved. I will not put together a believer with an unbeliever. They both have to give me a clear testimony. Number two, well, let me give you three and four, and I'll come back to number two. Three, they have to believe in the permanency of marriage. I will not marry a couple unless they absolutely believe till death do them part. That when they make a covenant with God and with each other, it is only separated by death itself. Number three, four, I will never do a wedding unless they both have their parents' blessing. People talk today about, Brother Scheller, you believe in interracial marriage? Well, first of all, can I tell you this? I believe there's only one race of people on planet Earth. I believe the only race of people is the human race. And we are all, there's not different races of people. But I will tell you this, I absolutely believe in a parent's blessing. And if a parent doesn't give a blessing to somebody to get married, I won't marry that couple. They have to have parents' blessing. They have to believe in the permanency of marriage. They have to be saved. And listen to this. I have never married a couple unless they have surrendered their wills and their relationship to God. Now, say, Brother Scheller, what do you mean by this? This is very important. Okay, so in other words, I never ask the couple in premarital counseling, I never ask them, do you believe this is God's will? I don't need to ask that question. If they have surrendered their will to God, on that wedding day, that girl that walks down the aisle, that should be God's will. Because they surrendered their lives to the Lord. And they said, Lord, whatever, whoever, however, whenever, whatever. God, my life is yours. I completely surrender my life to you, Lord. Well, then, the girl that comes down that aisle, the guy that's waiting at the altar, that should be the will of God. I never asked, do you think this is God's will that you marry that person? No. My question is, have you surrendered your will to God? Have you said, God, all I want is your will? Because if you have, do you desire to marry this girl? I do. Do you desire to marry this guy? I do. Well, I would say that that's God's will. Because you surrendered your will. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You've got to be delighting. You've got to be surrendered to Him. If you're struggling with God, you got the wrong desires. But if you have said, God, all I want is Your will for my life, then I will tell you, the desires you have will be His will. Now, Abraham's got a big deal. Abraham takes his son, by the way. His son doesn't know what's going on. His son doesn't haven't put this thing together yet. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. What does that tell you about this whole thing? Let's go do this. Let's go serve the God. And he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. God, that's where you want me to do it. Now, I want to talk about that for a moment. There is a place that you surrender. How many of you have never been in this auditorium before? This was the first time I've ever been in this auditorium. How many of you have never been in this auditorium before? Okay. All right, this is the first time I've ever been in here. This could be the place. How many of you, this is your church? Raise your hand. This is where you're in this place every Sunday. This altar this morning could be the place. I am going to tell you this. There has to be a place that you surrender. It's not a state of mind. There is a place. I had the opportunity to go to Hawaii not too long ago and went to Pearl Harbor. You ever get to Hawaii, you got to see the Pearl Harbor memorial. It's phenomenal. But off to the side of the Pearl Harbor, there's another memorial. It's the USS Missouri. Has anyone ever been on it before? It's the USS Missouri. It's in the same harbor, Pearl Harbor, and they have it. It's another exhibit. In there, when you go on the USS Missouri, there's a spot on the deck. It's about this big. It's brass, and it is the exact place on September 2nd, 1945, in Tokyo Harbor, in Tokyo Bay. It is the exact place on the USS Missouri where the Japanese forces surrendered to the Allied forces, to the United States. It is the exact spot where Japan surrendered. There has to be a spot, a place that you surrender. For me, it was that prayer room. For me, it was down at an altar when Jerry Savinsky was preaching. And as a sophomore in college, I knelt down and I said, God, whatever, whoever, whenever, wherever, God, I surrender my life to You. Young person, quit fighting God. And wave the white flag and say, God, I'm tired. I'm trying so hard. And you just give up and surrender. This morning in my hotel room, I said, you know, when did the whole thing with the white hanky thing, the white flag, ever start? It started about 100 AD. Before that time, when an army surrendered to another army, they lifted their shields above their head, signifying that they were surrendering. But around 100 AD, the Roman Empire, as they began to take over nations and groups of people and cities, they would wave a white flag signifying we surrender. We give up and we surrender. High school students, if you're a 13-year-old girl, you can fight God. 16-year-old guys can fight the Lord. I want to encourage you to do something today. In a couple moments, I'm going to preach my last message. It's going to be about taking a stand. I do not believe you can take a stand until you are trusting the scriptures and you've had a time of surrender. I think you have got to say, God, I surrender this relationship to You. Lord, I surrender this habit to You. I surrender my dreams to You. God, I do not know what You're going to do in my life. I do not care. I do know I'm fighting You on the wardrobe. I do know I'm fighting You on music. I do know that I'm fighting my parents about my friendships. And God, I don't want to fight anymore. If You take them away for good, I believe You'll replace it with something better. If You bring it back into my life, it'll be better than it's ever been. I believe what this guy's preaching today. And Lord, this afternoon, I surrender my will. and I'm going to give up. And I'm going to let you have your will, God, in my life. And Lord, I'm stubborn. You know that. God, I'm competitive. And I'm sometimes really hard. But Lord, if Abraham was willing to give up his son, then I will give up this thing in my life. By the way, you know the story. So Abraham raises the knife. And I don't think Isaac's as young. What I've been able to put together, I don't think he's as young as we think sometimes. I don't think we're talking about a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy. I personally think he's a grown man. And Abraham has the knife over his son. Now, I think Abraham believes he's going to raise Isaac from the dead if he kills him. But he doesn't know. And I think he's got that knife over. And I think this is one of the most unbelievable, two unbelievable things are about to happen. Number one, the Lord has to say his name twice. I don't think I would have to have my name said twice if I'm about to kill my son, okay? Though there's a few times. No, but anyways. But I got a knife over, and he says, Abraham! Abraham! And Abraham turns around, and there in the thicket, and this is so cool, you know what happens. In the thicket, there's a ram caught. The Lord provided. Now, sometimes you hear preachers say this, and it's not accurate. Sometimes they talk about the names of God, and they say, oh yeah, God is Jehovah Nisi. God is Jehovah this or Jehovah that. And they sometimes say, Jehovah Jireh. That is not a name of God. That is the name of the place. Because that was the place that the Lord provided the lamb. That is not a name of God. That is the name. And he named, you read it, he named the place Jehovah Jireh. For that is where the Lord provided. This altar this afternoon could be Jehovah Jireh for a young person. You know what? That's the place that I surrendered and God provided. Today he provided peace. Today he provided joy. I am so tired of fighting God. I mean, we're just butting heads on this thing about what I'm going to do for my life. We're just butting heads about this music thing. I mean, we're just butting heads about what's going on in my life. Some of you are looking at pornography, and you're just fighting God. I encourage you today, would you surrender your mind to the Lord? Would you surrender your will to God? Young person, you cannot take a stand if you're fighting over something that you and God have not gotten settled yet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Going to have our sister play I Surrender All. Now, I kind of thought about this morning. Lord, this may end up being like the Gideon thing where a lot of people will come forward at first and then the group will get smaller and smaller and smaller as we go along. And I don't care. God killed all the Midianites with 300. They started with 22,000. This morning, many of you responded to the Word of God. That's a good thing. Trust in the Scriptures. I made a decision. God says it, that settles it. Well, now we're going a little further. How many of you, God spoke to your heart about surrendering something? And you say, you know what, Lord? You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to stand up. You just need to come. God put on your heart this afternoon, Lord, you know I need to settle something. I need to surrender something. Young person, would you be willing to get up from your seat? Some are already coming. Would you be willing to get up from your seat when the music begins to play and say, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm surrendering this to you. I'm not going to fight you anymore. What is it that thou lovest? Would you be willing to surrender that to God as the piano begins to play? God spoke to your heart. I'm going to surrender this to God. I mean it.